All right, welcome back. Second half hour. I got confused about this last week. It is the top of the hour, so we're headed to the bottom of the hour when I think the Virginia Tech warm-up show or pregame show comes on. The Hokies play basketball tonight, as do the Hoos at 7 o'clock, so you can switch over to WRVA and listen to the Virginia pregame show also at 6:30. But right now, speaking of basketball, Frank has the LeClaire Ryan play of the game, and it is a basketball play. Frank?
We've selected the men's basketball game from Saturday's game against Seattle. Tonight, we're actually going to recognize UVA guard Tevin Jones. It's been obvious that the Hoos were hurting since Jontel Evans and Jones were both out. So UVA didn't really have a point guard to push the ball or handle the press. So on Saturday, when Jones went in, he had to make an impression, and I think he did. Jones ran the team's offense and really got the defense started. His comments after the game in which Virginia won by over 40 points, "I'm just so excited that we got the win. We were struggling, but it was really great to win. I feel very blessed. I feel very comfortable out there. I'd been running it in practice, so I thought, what's the difference? It's just a big crowd of people. There is no difference." Although that's not necessarily a play, I think it really speaks to how important having a point guard on the floor is, and Virginia was able to play some of their key players at their normal positions, specifically Joe Harris. He needs to be a three or four all the time and nowhere else. And I think Virginia showed what they can be. And once Jontel gets back, I think Virginia's offense is going to look a lot better.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Although the guy I played with, Barry Parkhill, was technically our point guard and was our primary scorer as well. But most of the time, you're going to want your two guard or your swing forward, your three, to be your scorers, if not your inside guy and your point guy to, you know, anchor the defense and run your offense. So it really helps. And unfortunately, the paper seems to indicate that both Jontel and Malcolm have had a little setback with their injuries here of late. So that's not encouraging news.
Jontel will still be back pretty soon. I think we see him in a week or two. Malcolm Brogdon, there's still no timetable on his return. And you really have to start wondering right now whether or not they're going to redshirt him.
It could happen, and certainly with the games tonight and tomorrow, they might go ahead, particularly with Tevin Jones playing well on Saturday, just use him tonight and tomorrow and hold out to Jontel until the Big Ten Challenge, which I think Virginia has to go to Madison, Wisconsin, next Wednesday night, the 28th of November. So that would give Jontel another week plus to rehab that foot so that he's back as close to 100% as possible before he gets out there.
Well, they clearly need him. Let's see here. I think we need to get Chris Horn with us. I don't know. I expected him to call, and I guess we're going to have to call him. So,
talk a little recruiting, and you indicate that one of our guys has had an injury here.
Corwin Cutler from Virginia Beach, a terrific football player, had an amazing season, got his team in the playoffs, put up some really just sick numbers this year. A lot of touchdowns, both passing and running, and maybe overachieved a little bit. And sadly, in the last week of the season, late in the game, he got hurt and he damaged his ACL and his MCL. So without further ado, let's bring on the Sabres' Chris Horn. Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Frank. Thanks.
Thank you for taking our call. Talk to us a little bit. We just talked about Corwin Cutler. We understand that he goes by the nickname Turtle.
Right.
We understand that Turtle has hurt his knee. What do you know about that, and what's the prognosis?
Yeah, they in the opening round of the Eastern Region Division VI playoffs, he suffered a torn, as you mentioned, a torn ACL, and obviously a pretty bad knee injury. But you know, certainly these days with ACL tears and things of that nature, it's not as serious as it once was. So he's got a lot of time to be able to rehab and make a full comeback. And another thing that's positive for him is that he's not he's about 6'3", 190 pounds, and he's got the athletic ability to get the job done in terms of making plays on the ground. But he's really more of a pocket passer. So that's another thing that it's not really going to take away from if he was a pure dual threat type of guy, it's not going to totally take away from maybe hamper his ability to do a big part of his game. So he's still got that rocket arm and definitely got a lot of potential. And obviously this year in the Beach District, which is one of the most talented districts in the state of Virginia. He was able to be a first-team all-district quarterback, beating out Bucky Hodges, who's committed to Virginia Tech, who's been a very good player since his freshman year. So obviously, tells you a lot about what kind of season Corin had, and I think he'll be able to make a full recovery, and whenever he gets to UVA, obviously he'll have some time.
Chris,
let
me just ask a quick question here.
Sure.
And
yeah,
you may not know the answer to this. Who does the medical surgery on a kid like this? Is it its local people down there, or do the Virginia docs get involved?
That's a great question. I think it's at least in my experience covering recruiting, I think it's more the local guys, in terms of maybe some doctors that they know around their area.
So, okay.
First off, he hadn't signed a letter of intent yet.
Right.
So let's get that straight first. So
that's true. He can't do that until February, but that doesn't mean he can't have a surgery by
his
physician.
It's possible that his family and coach might communicate with the folks in Charlottesville, but
We could hook him up with Ortho Virginia, you know.
Well, maybe so. All right. Let's avoid that bugaboo, Jim. Let's go to three local players. Defensive tackle Jack English over at St. Christopher's, Malcolm Cook, mm-hmm. who's up at FUMA, and Tim Harris at Verona. Much has been said about these young men locally. What can you break them down for us?
Well, I think we'll start with who you started with, Jack English out of St. Christopher's. What I think about him when I think about Jack is he's a real tough player, whether it's as a tight end or a defensive tackle, and I think he really has a legitimate possibility to play either one. So really whatever need Virginia has, I think he's going to be able to help fill one of those needs, whether it's defensive tackle or tight end. And Tim Harris, obviously a guy who's gotten a lot, who before he committed to Virginia had a lot of acclaim. He's a four-star recruit, so a lot of people knew about him. And he had offers from Ohio State, Michigan, Virginia Tech, in addition to Virginia. And he's just one of those. He's gotten comparisons in the past to Rashad Dowling, but I think he will play corner. I initially thought that he's got the size to play safety, about 6'2", 190 pounds, and he can definitely run, and he could play either one, but it sounds like corner is where he's going to play, and a big, tough physical corner, and a heck of an athlete, just a heck of an athlete. And a guy that I've really been impressed with is Malcolm Cook. You mentioned that at Fork Union. He played at Armstrong High School in Richmond for his first 3 years before going to Fork Union, and just a guy that kind of reminds me a little bit of Maurice Kennedy from last year, in terms of a guy who's kind of under the radar until he committed to Virginia during the summer after a camp. But obviously Kennedy has come in and done very well, and I think Cook has that ability. I know he's a safety. I know Virginia's got some young safeties, but he's a guy I think that could has the potential to see the field, has just a knack for making a lot of big plays, and the size and the athletic ability to play pretty soon.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes. Taquan Mazel, a.k.a. Smoke, running back down from Virginia Beach. How's his health? Let's knock on wood and pray that he's okay. And number two, give us a little bit of foresight or insight as to Brendan Marshall, the quarterback from up in Maryland.
Yeah, Taquan Mazel, I spoke to him on Sunday. It sounds like his health is fine. He's preparing for the U.S. Army All-American game. So come January, Virginia fans should tune into that game. They'll be able to see him play. And he made no bones about it. His goal is to come in and really be a dynamic player for Virginia right away. He wants to come in, and his goal is to be a freshman All-American. So lofty goal, and obviously Virginia, he's hoping to be able to step in and add some spark, some more spark to that offense. And then Brendan Whitey Marshall at a Good Counsel, which is obviously a fantastic program. It's one of the top high school football programs in the country. Brendan had a 3-touchdown performance this past weekend against DeMatha and his conference's championship game. And Good Counsel has now won that game 4 straight years. And he's a guy, another pocket guy, 6'5", 190 pounds. Or maybe about 200 pounds, has not as strong of an arm as a Corin Cutler or like a Phillip Sims, but a guy who's just a smart player out there, has a good enough arm to make the throws that it needs to make, and a guy that I think has certainly good potential in Virginia's system.
Okay, you have identified the position of linebacker as being crucial for Virginia in this recruiting class,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to be your last question tonight. Zach Bradshaw from Damascus, Maryland. You've got Micah Kaiser from Baltimore, and you've got LaChaston Smith from Statesville, North Carolina. How did their seasons play out, and are those the type of guys that can replace Reynolds and Greer and everybody else out there?
Yeah, thanks. Obviously, looking at Greer, that's going to be the key hole to fix. I mean, he's obviously such a phenomenal player, and there's going to be a big hole until somebody fills it next year. And I think Micah Kizer, I do think he's got, you know, it's tough to ask a lot of freshmen, but I think obviously Quanti Moore's up there as well, and he's had a year in the system. But I think Micah Kizer has the smarts, and he's got the toughness to potentially at least add some depth next year to that position. LeChaston Smith, his team is still going. He's really showing well as a running back, actually, but he's a 6-foot, 220-pound linebacker. He's going to be probably an outside linebacker at Virginia, and the guy that is planning on getting to Virginia this January, so he's trying to enroll early. And Zach Bradshaw is kind of a multi-talented guy, a guy who's done a lot as a receiver. He's returned kicks and punts for touchdowns and done a whole lot for his team at Damascus. And but he's going to be an outside linebacker and a guy that just seems to be one of those good football players, you know, maybe kind of like a Steve Greer. So I think I really like those three in particular guys.
All right, Chris, we appreciate your insights as always. Don't be a stranger. We'll have you back soon. But we thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Now, my one question is, yeah, is Turtle really a good name, a nickname for a football player? Doesn't that imply a little slow?
You know, it means he's tough.
Maybe
he's tough. He's got a tough shell.
You want the guy to be a rabbit, you know.
Well, maybe.
Although the tortoise eventually won the race, didn't he?
Yeah, he always
wins. The tortoise and the hare, yeah.
At least that's the way I remember that nursery rhyme. All right, we are looking for Dr. David Nedif. We're going to get him on the line here to talk about the injury situation. Quick update, today in the press conference, Mike London did not provide any information on Morgan other than to say, and apparently Morgan got hurt late in the fourth quarter. His Coach London's comment was, you know, it's guarded right now. I'm not a doctor, but he understands the importance of this. And I think that outside of knowing what happens tomorrow when we have our practice, the players are off today, blah, 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 blah. So he said in his last comment relative to this was, if he's not ready to play, Jay Whitmire will be the next man up. So I'm not sure what that means. I mean, he was pretty evasive.
What does medical usually mean? Like concussion, illness, or what?
It could be anything from a cold to, you know, the flu, that kind of thing.
So it's more of that type stuff.
You know, it's sort of hard to see. Let's see here.
Well, we could talk about the Maryland situation. Very interesting news. Speaking of ACC, the Maryland Terrapins opting to depart. To my knowledge, only the second team ever to do that. South Carolina did it 40 years ago. Maryland decides to leave, so usually it's follow the money. They must think there are riches in the Big Ten.
It's always fun to root against Maryland. I'm going to miss that. But it seems to make sense financially for them, and I mean, I'm not really going to miss a mediocre ACC team being around. So.
Well, they're one of the founding members, but there's a $50 million exit fee, and what's really going to happen is Maryland's going to sue the ACC because they don't want to pay the $50 million. So financially, this doesn't work unless they do.
Because the ACC just within the last year jacked up that exit fee, right?
That's correct.
Trying to prevent this from happening.
But their president didn't sign on to that or something.
Doesn't matter.
There's some legal precedent they think they can go with. But, you know, they're going to make $25 million a year with that network on the Big Ten. So I really don't see them.
Well, the interesting thing, I think the ACC was worried about losing Florida State, Clemson, and teams like that, not necessarily Maryland.
Krzyzewski said today that he, quote, thought that the ACC was vulnerable today because of this. So we'll see if anything more won't happen with it. I hope not.
Sort of implying there might be other teams that would be picked.
This isn't the only shoe to drop, I don't think, from his perspective.
Very interesting.
All right. We'll see.
It's one of the developments in college athletics, these conferences. I mean, you have to buy a program anymore to figure out not only the players, but who's in your league.
Well, let's look at this thing. First off, Maryland was in desperate financial straits. The athletic department has been a train wreck for about 4 or 5 years.
It's been wonderful.
Well,
I don't know what you're talking about. They,
at least from a Virginia perspective, right. You know.
Maryland had to drop.
Show.
Maryland had to drop seven sports. Being fair, that's not what you want to see. So
no.
I mean, you saw all the furor over the fact that University of Richmond dropped soccer
and track and field,
and to add lacrosse, and you saw that. Imagine what was going up at a College Park last year when all the debates circled around the seven sports that were being dropped. So,
and we'll have it shortly, but it just another indication of the strength of Virginia's athletic department. Our Olympic sports, not only do we have the 25 sports, but so much success in both men and women in the Olympic sport area.
All right, well, we're going to go to break now, I think, and then we'll come back and give us a little bit more time on the other side. So stay with us. Olympic Sports Report and some predictions on the upcoming weekend's games.